WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Number two of the program here on Friday morning, Fun Friday morning. And although it is Fun Friday, brought to you by Dee's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, we still are talking about serious things as well. The Brown University shooter is dead. He has been identified as Claudio Manuel Neves Valente, 48, a Portuguese national who was previously a student at Brown. He was here on a student visa in 2000. He came here. In 2001, he stopped going to classes. In 2003, he formally withdrew from the university. In 2017, he became a legal permanent resident. And then it appears that the MIT professor's murder was connected. And that's someone that Valente went to school with in Portugal. So they were in an academic program together in Portugal. So they're still trying to piece together motive, but they feel 100% confident that this was their guy in both of those cases. So we can talk more about that. It is Fun Friday, so we do have our Fun Friday question, which is, what is the worst Christmas song of all time? You can send in app chat messages. You can send in open line voicemails on the WBSM app. You can give me a call at 508-996-0500, and you can comment on our Facebook page. And DSY sent in an app chat message, says, to be honest, all Christmas songs suck except for Snoopy and the Red Baron, the Christmas Bells song. Yeah, some people don't like the Christmas Bells song, because that one, you know, Snoopy and the Red Baron, like the original song, and even the Return of the Red Baron, both of these songs by the Royal Guardsmen, they're songs. They have, you know, structure and melody and verses and chorus and all that. Christmas Bells is more like news reports with some of the chorus. So at least from what I remember, I haven't heard it in a long time. But I used to have the Royal Guardsman album. Oh, no, maybe. Yeah, maybe the song itself, like as a single, doesn't have that. Maybe I'm thinking of the Royal Guardsman album, which has those reports between the songs. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. But I used to like the Snoopy and the Red Baron song when I was a kid. And then when I found out there was more, I was like, they wrote a sequel and a Christmas version? That's pretty cool. Like, same thing with Monster Mash. There's a Christmas version of Monster Mash, Monster's Holiday. It was a Monster's Holiday, and they were up to no good. Still done by Bobby Borders Pickett. So, but I like that one. I like all the novelty Christmas stuff, more or less. Just don't like Christmas Wrapping by the Waitresses. But also can understand why, you know, people don't like Christmas music at all. I only like it in limited doses and for a couple of days. And let's see, we got a Facebook response. Kevin says, do they know it's Christmas by Band-Aid? Self-serving crap. I don't know that it's self-serving crap. So that song raised about $178 million to date for the Band-Aid Charitable Trust, which is the organization that was founded to then use that money to pay these other organizations that deal with famine relief in Africa. And the CNN had a documentary last summer on Live Aid, which, you know, Band-Aid was the precursor of Live Aid. And without Band-Aid, there wouldn't have been a Live Aid. And without Live Aid, there wouldn't have been Live 8. And without that, there wouldn't have been so many of these other things that have gone on since then. So, it, you know, there's I was going to say a Venn diagram, but it's almost more like a tree, like a family tree of good work that's been done. Now, the problem is, and they talked about this in the CNN documentary, is Bob Geldof and Midjourney, who were raising the money with this, they weren't really savvy enough on the world politics stage to know, like, you shouldn't take this money raised and give it to this organization, because this organization is going to spend most of that money on, you know, this and this and this, instead of actually putting food in people's mouths. So there was kind of some political maneuverings once the money was raised of, you know, where that money went. And then at one point, I think before they got together for Live 8, they said, yeah, we're not doing that again. This time we're going to be more directly involved in making sure that this money goes to where people are giving it to, and not into, like, you know, whatever other programs that charity is sponsoring. So the intentions were good. I don't think it was self-serving. I think the intentions were good. But I think, you know, they learned a lesson with it. But to date, that charitable trust, because it's still, that still record still sells every year. And the money that's sold from that record, if you go and buy it on iTunes or whatever, that's still a thing. But any money that's raised from it goes to famine relief. So all, you know, the publishing rights, every time somebody wants to cover it, or, you know, the fact that people are playing it at Christmas time, they all have to pay in to these services to be able to play it. And then, you know, incremental, very small little bits, but it all adds up. And then that money goes into the charitable trust. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, Sam, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. So about that question, what is your least favorite, like, worst Christmas song? I mean, I don't really have one in particular, but, I mean, probably my guess would probably be Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. Like, I don't know why, but just look, it's a good song. Don't get me wrong, but just I feel it's overplayed and overplayed and just, It kind of gets old, but the worst thing is it's too catchy. It's too catchy. And just sometimes I just hate to sing it, but I don't know.
But then you find yourself singing and you're like, why am I singing the song? But it's just worked its way into your head.
Yeah, exactly, Mr. Weisberg, exactly.
And you're right. It is a good song, but too much of any good thing is still too much.
And yet she makes millions off it. She makes millions.
We should all be so lucky to just have to basically put out one song and know at the end of the year we're getting a giant check.
Yep. Well, I mean, hey, money speaks, you know?
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you for the call.
Anyway, Merry Christmas.
You as well. And, I totally expected that song to be mentioned. And again, it's one of those things where it's not the worst song. Like, it's a good song, but it's the worst song experience, because you hear it so much and you hear it so often. And, you know, there's some songs that I think are fun and good in small doses, but then it just gets overplayed. And I'm not talking just Christmas songs. I just mean in general. Like that Gangnam Style song. Like, I was like, oh, this is kind of fun and catchy, but then it was everywhere. Mambo Number 5. Oh, this is fun. This is catchy. And then it was everywhere. You're like, oh, enough. And then like 20 years later, you see it in a commercial, or it's like rewritten for a commercial, and you're like, okay, that's kind of funny. But then another commercial does it. You're like, no, somebody else already did that. Just stop already. So I think that you've got, I was looking at this Department of Defense graphic on the news, and it showed two planes and Santa's sleigh. And I was like, did the DOD put out a graphic that they're going to attack Santa? But they were just giving him a companion flight. But anyway, 508-996-0500. If you want to call in and chime in on the question of the day brought to you by D's Hot Dogs or any other topic that we're discussing today. The Christmas songs, we will continue to play them. You know what song a lot of people don't like? There's two, and they come from the novelty genre. They're kind of one and the same. and they're very similar to each other, is the I'm Getting Nothing for Christmas song. People really kind of don't like that one, and because of the way that it was performed, you know, doing it with that voice. But do you know who did that voice? A very young Barry Gordon. And if you don't know who Barry Gordon is, you certainly know his voice. If you saw his face, you'd say, oh yeah, I've seen that guy. Like, what's he been in? He's been in, well, he was on Leave It to Beaver back when he was a kid. But even as an adult, you've seen him on, like, he was in Kolchak the Night Stalker, I know that. He was Gary on Archie Bunker's Place. He was on Barney Miller, Star Trek. He was the rabbi in Curb Your Enthusiasm. So he's been in a lot of different things, but he's also a very prolific voice actor. He was Donatello and Bebop in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the original series. He was Clamhead in Jabberjaw. He was on the Jetsons, the Smurfs, the Snorks. He was Junior on the Snorks. He was like the main character. Just looking at some of his other credits here, I mean, he's done so many different voices. And he was the vocalist on the original I'm Getting Nothing for Christmas, the 1955 hit song. And then another one that people can't stand is the Hippopotamus for Christmas song. People, that irks them too. That's from 1953. And then while we're in the same vein, is, you know, people really don't like All I Want for Christmas Is My Two Front Teeth, too. And the original one is a Spike Jones classic. Who did the vocals on that? Was that Doodles Weaver? Let me look it up. Who was it? Let's see. I'm looking. George Rock. So, you know, those are some of the ones that I think would come up quite a bit. Lily says, oh, and yeah, Mike says, All I Want for Christmas Is My Two Front Teeth is a song he hates. And well, that's because you don't have two front teeth and it's my fault. Lily says, Baby, It's Cold Outside is her least favorite because it's inappropriate. So, yeah, there's a lot of songs I think that people, and you know what? Just because you don't like it, do you turn it off when you hear it? Or do you just be like, oh, not this song again? Because, you know, we've only got to hear them a couple of times. Getting some app chat messages as well. Bob says, good morning, Tim. I can't stand White Christmas. I know it's an iconic song, but I do not like snow, and it's much too slow for me. Give me Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, which is a song that a lot of people hate, too. But I can see the dislike for White Christmas. It is long and drawn out. So I can get behind that. Some people don't like it because they don't like Bing Crosby. Happy says, Santa Baby, no matter who sings it. I think, not only that, but there's a lot of hatred, especially for the Madonna version of Santa Baby that was on the Very Special Christmas album because she went way too cutesy with the vocal. So a lot of people really don't like that version especially. We got a call here coming in, 508-996-0500. Good morning, you're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
The worst Christmas song has to be The Dogs Barking.
The Jingle Bells?
I just know dogs are barking. Yeah. There you go. That one would have to be at the top of anybody's list. Do you agree?
Yeah, but I don't know if you're aware of this. I'm in a Barking Dogs tribute band. So
okay. My deepest apology to you.
I'm just kidding.
Now, my favorite standard Christmas song would be Silver Bells.
It's a great one.
Yeah, but my favorite four in order, Do They Know It's Christmas, Band-Aid. Three, how about This One's for the Children, New Kids on the Block.
Yeah, The Children of the World, yep.
Yes, and number two, Old Tannenbaum, Nat King Cole.
Mm-hmm.
And he dabbles in German in that song.
I mean, that's the original version of it, the original language of it.
And I believe a Tannenbaum is Christmas tree in German.
It is, yep.
I believe. And my favorite, I don't think you heard of this song, Tim, Christmas Eve on Cape Cod by Susan Linton.
I do not know that song. No, I do not know that one.
Oh, it is nice. It is nice. She was from Cape Cod, and she passed away a few years ago. And they would play it every Christmas season on, let's just say, a rival station from Cape Cod. But it's a super nice tune. I hope you'll give it a listen sometime.
I will have to do that. Thank you so much.
All right, Jim. Have a good one, buddy.
You as well. I got time to take one more quick call here before we got to go to a break, and then the news. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Jim.
How you doing?
Good. I don't like country music as a whole. You know, some of it goes a long way. A lot of it goes a long way with me. But Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. I can't stand that song.
The great Elmo and Patsy.
Oh, I can't stand that song. That's got to be my worst song. I want to say Santa Baby's up there too, but that's one of them.
When that song first like became a hit in the 80s, it was everywhere. Like, you know, you turned on the radio and it was always playing. And we used to tease my grandmother with it. So she didn't like it either. But then I think it grew on her.
Oh, I'm sure. That's like Napoleon Dynamite grew on me. My daughter made me watch it so many times that I actually started really liking the movie.
Gosh, it's a good movie.
But anyway, that's my song. I mean, I can't stand that one. That's it. The number one.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the call.
Oh, well, have a great Christmas.
You too.
And your family.
Take care.
Thanks.
And I'll read one more quick app chat message. Steve says, I do not like any of the Christmas songs from Trans-Siberian Orchestra. My favorite is Holly Jolly Christmas by Burl Ives. I like anything that's in the Rudolph special. I love all those songs. That was always my favorite, walking around Edaville when they would play those ones. But I can see the TSO, like not liking the TSO stuff. It is kind of overdone. There was one, I think was it their version of Carol of the Bells that was just everywhere for a couple of years. So I think, you know, I can see people not liking that. I'm not a big instrumental person when it comes to Christmas music. You know, I like the lyrics, and I like the offbeat versions, the different covers. Like, that's why I like the Bruce Springsteen Santa Claus Is Coming to Town, although it wasn't him that first did it in that style. It was, what was it, the Ronettes that did it first? I don't know, I'd have to look it up. But I don't know. Let me take this break here. Before I take the break, we're talking, of course, about Christmas, and that means you're going to have a lot of bills after Christmas. And so you might be saying, well, you know what? This year we got to put off upgrading our home's energy because of that. Well, no. Upgrading your home's energy efficiency can feel overwhelming, but with C2S Energy, you don't have to go it alone. Their certified experts handle everything from assessing your home to recommending the right solutions, whether it's insulation, windows, roofing, or high-efficiency heat pumps. They even navigate the rebate process for you, making it simple to qualify for savings up to $16,000. Trust the team that knows the programs, the products, and how to maximize your comfort and savings. Visit C2SEnergy.com and let C2S Energy do the heavy lifting. And let me take a break. When we come back, we'll get the news. And on the other side of that, we'll have today's edition of the Gen X Files here on Fun Friday, brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford.
Wake up!
Starting your day the right way with the Tim Weisberg Show. Mornings on WBSM.
The suspect in the Brown University shooting has been found dead. A family suing a hospital over a bone mix-up and four killed after the latest drug boat strike.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A man believed to be the suspect in the Brown University shooting has been found dead after police swarmed a storage facility in Salem, New Hampshire last night. The man is suspected of killing two students and injuring nine more people after opening fire inside of a Brown classroom on Saturday. Police are also investigating a potential link to the Monday killing of MIT professor Nuno Loureiro. Providence Police Chief Oscar Perez identified the man as 48-year-old Claudio Neves Valenti, whose last known address was in Miami. Perez said the man was found dead after taking his own life. The Pentagon says four people were killed in the most recent strike on an alleged drug boat in the Eastern Pacific Ocean. The announcement came as the Senate Armed Services Committee was shown a full video of the September 2nd double tap strike on another boat.
Because of classification, I can't tell you what's in the second video, but I can tell you that I was shocked and sickened.
Senator Richard Blumenthal, a Connecticut Democrat, says he thinks the withholding of the footage from the American public is unjustifiable. U.S. Southern Command has posted video on social media of this week's strike, writing that it was ordered by Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, and the vessel was traveling along a known narco-trafficking route. President Trump has installed new plaques to the Presidential Walk of Fame outside of the Oval Office. The White House says Trump wrote many of the plaques himself. The ones installed under President Biden and President Obama are critical of the former commanders-in-chief. Biden's plaque refers to him as sleepy, crooked, and the worst president in American history. Meanwhile, Obama's plaque calls him one of the most divisive figures in American history and claims that he spied on Trump's 2016 presidential campaign. The family of a former employee of Henry Ford St. John Hospital is suing the Detroit hospital for staff members losing part of her skull during a surgery in 2023. Edna Burton worked for the hospital for over 20 years and had surgery to relieve brain pressure after she suffered a stroke.
We think it's asinine that, you know, they're suggesting that she's better off with the artificial skull compared to her natural God-given chunk of her skull.
That's attorney Cameron Bell, who's representing Burton's family. Staff told her family a few months later that the piece of her skull that was removed was mixed up with bones from another patient, Edna Brown, and they provided a prosthetic plate instead. Burton is now bedbound, needs a feeding tube, and has not talked since after the surgery. Family was given a $25 gas card by the hospital for the loss of the skull. Legislation that would ban gender transition treatments for minors is advancing through the House with GOP support.
The legislation criminalizes gender transition surgery or supplying hormones to minors and would make those who provide gender transition treatments subject to up to 10 years in prison. The bill passed the House mostly along party lines, with Democrats saying the legislation tramples on parental rights and allows politicians to make deeply personal decisions for families. The bill may not have enough support in the Senate to get past a filibuster. I'm Rory O'Neill.
Louisiana Attorney General Liz Merle is reporting the discovery of a voodoo doll in New Orleans. The felt doll was found tied to a tree where ongoing federal roundup of illegal immigrants has led to protests. The doll wears clothes labeled ICE and has a lot of pins shoved into it. Merle stated that it's a sign of desperation that pro-illegal immigration radicals are having to resort to voodoo dolls. The last U.S. pennies minted have sold for over $16 million.
Production of the copper-plated one-cent coin was stopped this year as each coin was costing four times more than it was worth in U.S. currency. Last week, the last of the U.S. pennies were sold at auction in about 233 coin sets, with each one including a commemorative 24-karat gold penny. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
The Texas Heartbeat Act, which bans abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected, has had a huge impact. A new study found that since it went into effect in 2021, it has saved thousands of unborn lives.
This study just confirms that Texas is on the right track.
John Ciego with Texas Right to Life. The study was published in the Journal of American Medical Association and found that abortions dropped more than 18% since the law's enactment. The steepest drop was among minors.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John C. Law.
Bruins lost to the Edmonton Oilers last night, 3-1. The Celtics will be in action with the Heat tonight at the Garden, 7 p.m. tip-off. And Sunday Night Football, it's the Patriots in Baltimore with the Ravens at 8:20.
Now, your WPRI 12 forecast. Brought to you by the Ultimate Men's Clinic.
A high wind warning for today and tonight. Gusts of 50 to 60 miles per hour. Meanwhile, rain likely, heavy at times. A few isolated thunderstorms. Temperatures upper 50s during the morning, 40s later in the day. Clearing, windy, colder tonight. Lows in the upper 20s. Sunshine, dry, blustery on Saturday. Temperatures cooler in the lower 40s. Partly sunny, windy, and dry Sunday with a high of 48. For WBSM, I'm 12 News. Chief Meteorologist Tony Petracca.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
McGruff here with Regina to sing Users Are Losers.
You know it's okay to say no. I'm telling you it's true. Learning when to say no.
Say no.
That's what you need to do. Learning how to say no.
Say no.
Can make a winner of you. Cause users are losers and losers are users. So don't use drugs. Don't use drugs. Winners don't use and users don't win. So don't use drugs. Don't use drugs. If you know a user even part of the time,
tell them to quit. Take a bite out of crime.
Users are losers and losers are users. So don't use drugs.
And help me take a bite out of crime.
The Gen X Files.
All right, I don't know how that hit, how that didn't become a top 40 single. Let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files are brought to you by Just Another Phoenix in Dartmouth. We'll start with celebrity birthdays. Tim Reed, who played Venus Flytrap on WKRP in Cincinnati, and adult Mike Hanlon in the original TV adaptation of Stephen King's It, celebrates his 81st birthday today. NBA Hall of Famer and Celtics great Kevin McHale is 68. Chris Hamill, better known as Lamal, who was part of the 80s pop group Kaja Goo Goo, and later had a solo hit with the theme to The Neverending Story, turned 67. Flashdance star Jennifer Beals is 62. Illusionist Chris Angel, 58. The original Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Christy Swanson, she's 56 today. Both actor and model Tyson Beckford and Ken Marino of MTV's The State. You know, he played Louis. I want to dip my... they're both 55 today. Who's the Boss and Charm star Alyssa Milano turns 53. Actor Jake Gyllenhaal is 45. And journalist Ronan Farrow, the son of Mia Farrow and supposedly Woody Allen, but probably actually Frank Sinatra, celebrates his 38th birthday today. In 1974, the Altair 8800 microcomputer was put on sale in the U.S. as a do-it-yourself computer kit for the price of $397. On this date in 1979, Kramer vs. Kramer premiered in movie theaters. 1 year later, Raging Bull hit the big screen. Oh, and I think another little movie also opened that same day in 1980.
And I stumbled to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn.
Yes, it was December 19th, 1980, when 9 to 5, starring Dolly Parton and featuring the classic theme song sung by her, where she actually uses her fingernails as an instrument, opened in theaters. Parton, in her first acting role, starred alongside Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda as disgruntled secretaries who get even with their sexist boss, played by the great Gabney Coleman. In 1985, Johnny Paycheck was drinking at a bar in Hillsboro, Ohio, when two guys recognized him and sat down near him. Things got tense, and Paycheck pulled out a .22 pistol and shot one of them, grazing his head. That man, Larry Wise, claimed that Paycheck got testy after they offered him a meal of deer meat and turtle soup. Wise says Paycheck yelled, "What do you think I am, a country hick?" and shot him. The country singer is convicted and serves 22 months in jail. What he should have said is, say it with me now, "Take this meal and shove it." All right, moving on. In 1986, Little Shop of Horrors and Platoon debuted in movie theaters. Little Shop of Horrors, one of my favorite films of all time. On this date in 1997, Titanic opened in movie theaters. It became the top-grossing movie of all time, with a soundtrack that sells about 15 million copies, thanks mostly to this Celine Dion hit, My Heart Will Go On. Anyone talk about songs that you're sick of? I love you, Celine, but that's enough of that. In 1998, President Bill Clinton was charged with lying under oath to a federal grand jury and obstructing justice. Clinton, the second president in American history to be impeached, vowed to finish his term. His lie was about an affair with 21-year-old intern Monica Lewinsky. In 2003, Tori Amos made her film debut in the Julia Roberts movie Mona Lisa Smile. In her cameo as a 50s big band singer at a wedding reception, she sings the standards You Belong to Me and Murder, He Says, which also appeared on the film's soundtrack.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, performing her holiday classic for us, our good dear friend, Darlene Love.
And it was on this date in 2014 that Darlene Love sang Christmas Baby Please Come Home on David Letterman's show for the final time as the host announced his retirement that year. And that was, of course, an annual holiday tradition. Every year he had Darlene Love on the show to sing that song for Christmas. In 2015, more than 30 years after its original release, Michael Jackson's Thriller became the first album to sell more than 30 million copies in the U.S., Produced by Quincy Jones, Thriller became Jackson's first number one album on the Billboard 200, where it spent a record 37 non-consecutive weeks atop the chart. The Recording Industry Association of America reported the latest sales figures showing the Eagles' greatest hits, 1971 to 75, had now sold 29 million, and Billy Joel's greatest hits, Volume 1 and Volume 2, had sold 23 million. That's the Gen X Files for December 19th, 2025, brought to you by Just Another Phoenix in Dartmouth, where you can join the Just Another Star Club Rewards Program, and we can stop by and have yourself some chicken and waffles this morning. Or maybe you want to go by for lunch and get one of their delicious patty melts. All right, that was a fun edition of the Gen X Files. I certainly enjoyed it. I hope that you did as well. I keep getting messages from people that tell me that that's their favorite part of the show, and I got to tell you, it's probably mine as well. All right, I do have to go into a break, though. 508-996-0500. Our Fun Friday question today, brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford. What's the worst Christmas song of all time? And we're actually getting some pretty good answers coming in, so I'm going to catch us up with those coming up. Before I go into the break, though, we're talking about Christmas. We're talking about New Year's. We're talking about all those people coming to your house, all those people eating and drinking and maybe even backing up your septic system. That's why you want to keep Bass Ready Rooter's number handy. That number is 508-995-8012. Of course, the easiest way to get them is online at bassready.com, B-A-S-S-R-E-D-D-Y. But they know that plumbing emergencies don't wait until after the holidays, and neither should you. At Bass Ready Rooter, they treat every call like it's their own home. It's a family-owned business that's been solving sewer and septic problems since 1974, earning the trust of thousands with over 700 five-star Google reviews. They always say, we may not be your first call, but we'll be your last. Make them your first call at 508-995-8012 or visit bassready.com. All right, let's go into that break, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health, Advanced Medicine, more care.
Wake up weekday mornings with the Tim Weisberg Show, 1420 AM and 99.5 FM, WBSM.
Hey, jingity-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jingity-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey, la, 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 la. Santa's got a little friend, his name is Dominic.
And welcome back. And that, of course, is Dominic the Donkey, which the Pork Man sent a Snapchat message saying that that's his wife's least favorite song. He says he doesn't have a least favorite, but he says his favorite is either Do They Know It's Christmas or Gabriel's Message, the song by Sting. So, yeah, Dominic the Donkey is another one that gets people going. They really don't like that one either. Over on our Facebook page, I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. That's what Vanessa says is her least favorite. Josh says, All I Want for Christmas is You by Mariah Carey. Armand says, Dominic the Donkey. And Jeff says, Feed the World, that stupid Band-Aid song. I don't know why people hate a song that's raised money for starving people in Africa, but I guess, you know, that's the kind of person you want to be. 508-996. I can also see why it can be an annoying song, but it does a lot of good. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Tim, a couple of days ago, you mentioned Gilbert O'Sullivan.
Yes.
With Alone Again, Naturally, and Get Down. But mm-hmm. You failed to mention maybe his biggest hit. Do you know what it might be?
I thought Alone Again, Naturally was his biggest hit.
This one is right there with it. Don't know what it might be? Claire.
I don't know if I'm familiar with that. I'm sure.
Well, oh, yeah. He's singing about... At the end, you find out that Claire is just a child. She giggles.
Oh, no.
To me, you're more than a child, oh, Claire. The moment I met you, I swear, yeah, it was a big hit. Top 10, definite, around 1973.
I'll have to go check that out.
Yeah. Now, the worst instrumental to make the top 12, I'm going to perform it for you, went to number 11.
Hot Butter by Popcorn.
Yes. Can you believe that that went to 11, I believe, on the Billboard chart?
How did that get to number 11, but Ray Stevens' version of In the Mood did not? Do you remember that one?
No, I don't.
That's the one
no.
with the chickens.
Okay, yes. Okay, because I remember the streak Ray Stevens with his novelty tunes, yeah?
Yeah, well, hey, I mean...
The lame brain was a witness to the streaker all the time.
I'm a big fan of that song, Hot Butter.
And then at
popcorn.
The end, his wife goes streaking across the court, right? Oh, Ethel! Have a good one.
I hauled up. I said, don't look careful. But here it come, dribbling. That's the best line. The guy at the basketball game. Here it come, dribbling. All right. I think we made him laugh so hard he had to hang up the phone. All right. I got to get one more break in here before I do that, though. If you are worried about those Christmas bills piling up and you need to get yourself a second job, Tremblay Bus Company is looking for bus drivers, van drivers, or monitors, and it's a great job for people that already have another job and they need to work some limited hours, or maybe you need to work around your kid's school schedule, or maybe you're retired and you just need some extra money or to get out of the house. Tremblay Bus Company is a great job for all those situations because you get to help kids get to school while earning yourself great pay. To find out more, just go to their website, tbcbus.com. That's TBC for Tremblay Bus Company, tbcbus.com.
Emily.
All right, we're going to be going into the news. We're going to have your ABC News. They'll have the latest on the Brown University suspect being found and being dead. And also, we will get your South Coast News with Mike Roberts. We can take your calls on the other side, 508-996-0500.